Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Something missing here. There's something missing here on the show tonight, something that we've become grown accustomed to over the course of the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's the Christmas music. Christmas has come and gone, and so therefore too has the great and festive cheer that we've brought to the program over the course of the last month. We hope yours was a very merry and spiritual Christmas. Yeah, Sam says it's okay. We still got Frankie Valli. I mean, thank God that's the gift that keeps on giving, but it has been a great Christmas. Welcome to the Political Cesspool, everyone. James Edwards and Keith Alexander in studio with you. The first show after Christmas and the last show of 2012. It's going to be a fun show tonight. Festive, as all the shows seemingly have been since, frankly, the middle of October. It all started with our birthday party show, the 8-year anniversary of the first broadcast we ever did. Then we went into Halloween, had a fun show there with a lot of festive music, Thanksgiving, Christmas. And now here we are on the cusp of the new year, and we're going to be recapping the top 10 moments that the political cesspool enjoyed in 2012. That's coming up a little bit later tonight, and you're not going to want to miss it. But first, Keith, again, my friend, first show after Christmas, how was yours?
Christmas was great. And see, I come from a tradition where you have a season of Christmas, you know, the 12 days of Christmas, like the famous song. So consequently, as far as I'm concerned, Christmas is going strong. And I think if you want to call up some more Christmas music, James, by all means, feel free to do so, because in the liturgical calendar of the Christian year, the Christmas season ends on January the 6th, which is Epiphany, and you have the Festival of Lights, at least you did in my church. So consequently, we can be still celebrating Christmas, and I would exhort anybody not to be intimidated by all of this superstition that you've got to get all your Christmas decorations down by the first of the year and whatnot, and that we've got to drop Christmas like a hot potato when the clock strikes midnight on December the 25th.
Regrettably, my wife is taking down our Christmas tree as we speak back at the house, and so it is what it is. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, we can and will in our hearts celebrate Christmas each and every day. We'll celebrate Christmas on the 4th of July if we want to. But as Pat Buchanan wrote in a particularly good column, even by his exceptional standards, Christians celebrate Christmas now in an anti-Christian age. And we posted this absolutely scintillating column of Pat's on the blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org just yesterday. And I'm going to read a couple of excerpts from it, and then we're going to continue on before we plow new ground this evening. Buchanan writes that for two millennia, the birth of Christ has been seen as the greatest event in world history. The moment Jesus was born in a stable in Bethlehem, God became man and eternal salvation became possible. This date has been the separation point of mankind's time on earth, with B.C. designating the era before Christ, and A.D. anno Domini in the year of our Lord, the years after. And how stands Christianity today? Christianity is in danger of being wiped out in its biblical heartlands, says the British think tank Civitas. In Europe, a century ago, British and German soldiers came out of the trenches to meet no man's land, to sing Christmas carols and exchange gifts. This was, of course, during World War I wartime, Keith. In the century since, all the Western empires have vanished. All of their armies and navies have melted away. All have lost their Christian faith. And I don't think that that's a coincidence. All have seen their birth rates plummet. All their nations are aging, shrinking, and dying, and all are witnessing invasions from formerly subject peoples and lands. Buchanan continues, even in America, too, the decline of Christianity proceeds. While conservatives believe that culture determines politics, liberals understand that politics can change culture. The systematic purging of Christian teachings and symbols from our public schools and public squares have produced a growing population, 20% of the nation, 30% of the young, who answer none of the above when asked about their religious beliefs and affiliations. In a recent issue of New Oxford Review, Andrew Sedan describes a quote-unquote reason rally in Washington, D.C. as a coming-out event sponsored by atheist groups. Among the speakers was Oxford biologist Richard Dawkins. Christians have been infected by a God virus, says Dawkins. They no longer are rational beings. Atheists should treat them with derisory contempt, mock them, ridicule them in public. Our belief, the belief in atheism, he says, is not a belief at all, which Buchanan counters by saying nonsense. Atheism requires a belief in the unbelievable. Christians believe that Christ could raise people from the dead because he is God. That is faith. Atheists believes that life came out of non-life. That, too, is faith. They believe in what their God, science, cannot demonstrate, replicate, or prove. They believe in miracles but cannot identify, produce, or describe the miracle worker. This Christmas season, let's pray for those at the Reason Rally and their lost souls. Keith, a great column. I read just part of it there, Christmas in an Anti-Christian Age by Pat Buchanan, his latest barn burner. I can see the day coming, and I think you can too. We talk about the war on Christmas quite a bit. It's just one of the fronts we face here on the culture war. The glorious and noble and honorable symbol of the Confederacy, even for those of us who celebrate Confederate History Month and still fly it and speak of it proudly, it has been beaten into people's minds that that's not something that you showcase or speak well of in polite company. I think the day will come in the not-too-distant future where wishing someone a Merry Christmas will get you the same kind of contempt from the politically correct crowd as the Confederate flag does. Is that a bridge too far, or am I onto something?
No, that's exactly what is intended, and that will be the natural and normal course of this cultural evolution that we seem to be going through due to cultural Marxism and due to the rise and triumph of liberalism in the last half of the 20th century in America. Now, one thing that Pat Buchanan neglected to say in his article, and he's not saying it for a purpose, but we'll go ahead and cross the last frontier and say it for him. Christianity was the success that it was because it was the adopted religion of white people. Europe was known alternatively through most of its history since the birth of Christ as Christendom. We're the last stronghold and holdout when Christianity was driven from the field and driven from the civilization, or at least any type of dominant position in it, in the land of Christ's birth, in North Africa, in the Middle East, in Anatolia, all over, at least three-quarters of the Mediterranean coastline. The holdout was Christian Europe. Charles Martel at the Battle of Tours in 732 beat an Islamic army. An Islamic army was defeated at Vienna by King John Sobieski of Poland. He kept the Muslims from taking over Europe from the east, just like Charles Martel prevented them from taking over Europe from the west, and the Battle of Lepanto started, which was a naval battle fought by an Austro-Hungarian king, started the long decline of the Ottoman Empire and Muslim influence and attacks on Europe.
We're going to be back and turn it right back over to Keith after these first words from our sponsors. Stay tuned.
A backpack is more than just a bag. It's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Keith Alexander and I were, in essence, continuing the show during the commercial break, and I think we're about to catch fire here. We opened up the show tonight, the first show after Christmas, and we've had a great celebratory month of December, playing those great Christmas songs and the spiritual carols. And it was very affirming. It stirred the soul. It made us feel good. It just enhanced the goodwill we feel for everyone. And that's really why we do the show. We're driven by that love. And that's what prompts us to engage in this sort of activism. And you can't separate our political beliefs from the faith that we share. But Keith and I were talking during the break that the attack on Christmas and Christianity in general is an attack exclusively reserved for that particular faith. You don't see the media attacking voodoo. You don't see them attacking the tribal religions of sub-Saharan Africa. Almost any attacks on religion is pretty much relegated to the faith of Christianity. Even the Mayans, you know, we were talking about them recently, Keith. You know, you could say that they had some sort of a religion. They worshipped the sun, and they tried to placate the sun with the blood of the people whose heads they cut off and rolled down their pyramids. You know, even that so-called religion is not attacked. And in fact, like any semi-barbaric non-European people, the Maya are nowadays talked about in hushed, reverential tones dictated by political correctness as one of the great civilizations, even though they lacked metal tools and wheels and enjoyed and made a sport of human sacrifice. Yet the Mayans, that is an advanced civilization. That is a great religion. You know, you never hear the Mayans being condemned, but Christianity, for a long time now, especially at Christmas, is under attack, which is why Pat penned Buchanan, the excellent column, Christmas in an Anti-Christian Age.
Well, there's another reason why Christianity is singled out for ridicule and being mocked, mockery and ridicule, and that's because it is inextricably related in the minds of most people in the world with white people. Like I said, Europe was called Christendom for most of the 2,000 years since the death of Christ. Furthermore, Christianity rose to the top, I think you could argue, because it was a religion of white people. Imagine if sub-Saharan Africa, rather than Europe, had been Christendom. Do you think that the sub-Saharan Africans would have built Notre Dame Cathedral? Do you think they would have built composed hymns like those by Brahms and Mozart and other great composers? No, none of that would ever have happened. There would not be a Christian civilization that exceeded all other religious-based civilizations had white people not been identified with Christianity. And if you will think about it, no other religion is attacked and derided like Christianity. There is some attacking of Islam, but it's basically Muslims rather than the people who profess or practice Islam rather than the religion itself. In fact, most of the politically correct people on both the right and the left take great pains to tell you that Islam isn't the fault, isn't the problem. It's these bad people that have a wrong-headed notion of what Islam is all about. You don't hear any type of qualifiers when you're putting down Christianity, and that is because Christianity is the religion of white people, or if you prefer, white Gentiles. And there is one religion that is like Caesar's wife, beyond reproach. Anybody who dares to say anything negative about this religion is cast into the outer darkness and charged with that most heinous of all thought crimes, anti-Semitism. And of course, I'm talking about Judaism. Judaism, the religion of the Jews, can't be criticized, never is criticized. There is no attack on Hanukkah like there's an attack on Christmas. There's no attack on any, on Ramadan. It's all focused on Christianity. And like James was saying, there's no attack on voodoo. In fact, they try to elevate voodoo practitioners and the Mayans and other people in their religions as being great reservoirs of insight and intelligence and culture, and we need to study them just like we need to all be shaking in our boots about the end of the world as supposedly predicted by the Mayan calendar.
Well, Keith, and I'd just like to add to that that I do agree with what you're saying, that whites over the course of the time since Christ have been the prominent advancers of Christianity. But I would say, too, that the reasons whites have been so blessed is that they were the ones to adopt the one true faith and the one true religion. And so it's kind of like the chicken or the egg. Is Christianity great because whites have been Christians, or are whites great because whites have been Christians? And I would say, well, you can make an argument for either. But nevertheless, and as Pat Buchanan rightly points out, as whites are now distancing themselves from the faith of their fathers, their nations are shriveling up, they are more vulnerable to attack, they're aging, they're dying. When whites were explicitly Christian, they really were the recipients of all the benefits of heaven. And so I think that should be pointed out.
Well, you're right. As we have gone away from our Christian roots, as we have tried to distance ourselves, or as Western society has, as we have tolerated more and more mockery, derision, criticism of Christianity, we've seen a decline in the civilization. On the other hand, I don't think Coptic Christians in Ethiopia or Egypt, or Christians in the Far East, or Christians anywhere else in the globe have been able to achieve the heights of civilization that white Christians have. Again, like you said, all of that should be pondered and pondered very closely. There seems to be a link between Christianity and white Gentiles, and we don't need to shove that under the rug. We need to realize that just like Christianity is great, so is the white race. And we need to realize that any attack on Christianity is really an oblique attack on white people.
We were going to play a clip this segment. We're coming up a little bit too close to the commercial break to work it in, but we're going to do it right after the next time out. But I'll give you a little primer as to what is in store. Piers Morgan, he is the anchor of one of CNN's biggest shows, one of its primetime shows. He was formerly a judge on America's Got Talent. Howard Stern took his place, so it goes to show you where he came from. He could save himself a considerable amount of embarrassment if he'd simply leave cable news and go back to judging reality TV shows. But nevertheless, a couple of days ago on the Piers Morgan show, Rick Warren was on. And Rick Warren said basically that the Bible always tells the truth, which is a pretty basic and fundamental concept of Christianity, to which Piers Morgan, of course, disagreed and said it's time to change the Bible. We've got to amend the Bible. Now, this is what passes for mainstream political commentary, whereas we get denounced as any sort of silly names for saying everyone should be proud of who they are and their cultural heritage. And yes, we are Christians. We celebrate Christmas. We play Christmas music. And so we're supposed to be radicals. We're extremists here on the cesspool. Whereas a man like Piers Morgan, who is so far disconnected from the American mainstream, it boggles the mind that this show has any ratings at all. I can guarantee you, in Red State America, a very tiny, minuscule, single percent of the population agrees with the stuff they hear from the Piers Morgan and his contemporaries at CNN, yet he's there and we're here. We're going to tell you exactly what he said right after this break, so stay tuned.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. cardioprim.com.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. James Edwards, Keith Alexander here with you. December 29th, first show after Christmas, last show of the year. We're going to be rounding out for you the top 10 moments of TPC's soon-to-be year that was in the third hour of tonight's show. You're not going to want to miss that, and then we're going to kick 2013 off the right way next Saturday night with our first show of the new year. But continuing on the train of thought we were on before the last commercial break, Christianity, white culture in general, always under attack. It's a relentless attack. Piers Morgan is the latest person to lob the javelin in our direction, and he said it's time to change the Bible, whereas we would say, you know, if more people adhered to the commandments of the Bible, we'd all be better off, all of humanity, all of mankind. This is what they're saying on CNN, though.
Now, why does it say holy on the Bible? Because, see, any other book, if it was writing about these great people in the past, it tend to gloss over their sins.
But we discussed this last time. What the Bible says, if you commit adultery, you're going to be stoned to death.
That's a civil law for the nation of Israel.
But it's still an element of the Bible that is flawed.
Well, evidently, for that generation, that's their commandment.
Exactly my point. Exactly like the Constitution.
But it's not one of the moral laws.
No, but it's still in the Bible, and it's flawed.
Both the Bible and the Constitution
were well-intentioned, but they are basically inherently flawed, hence the need to amend it. My point to you about gay rights, for example, it's time for an amendment to the Bible.
No.
You should compile a new Bible.
Not a chance. What I believe is flawed is human opinion, because it constantly changes. In fact, we do it every 8 years. In America, we have a change in opinion. What was hot is now not. And I willingly admit that I base my worldview on the Bible, which I believe is true. And truth, my definition of truth is, if it's new, it's not true. If it was true 1,000 years ago, it'll be true 1,000 years from today. Opinion changes, but truth doesn't.
We're going to agree to disagree on that. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about children.
You know what I like, though? Piers, we need more of this kind of talk.
I agree.
We need...
The debate should always be respectful. But it's the moment... And by the way, it applies to politics, too.
Yeah.
The moment it becomes disrespectful and discourteous and then rude and then poisonous, you never achieve...
Okay, Keith, you stepped away for a second and you missed what I thought was the most despicable comment made by Piers Morgan in that exchange, and it's what he said with regards to so-called homosexual rights that the Bible condemns sodomy, and so therefore the Bible must be amended. We need a new Bible. That's what Piers Morgan said. This whole hysteria in elevating sodomites and perverts as the newest, they're almost on the level of the angels now. They can do no wrong. Everything they do is great. Anything that says that lifestyle might not be appropriate, might be sinful, which of course it is. It is evil and should be amended. We need a new Bible. So says Piers Morgan. That is CNN.
Of course that's CNN. And of course CNN represents a minority viewpoint, not only in America, but in the whole world. What CNN represents and what Piers Morgan has given expression to is pure Enlightenment liberalism, beginning with the French Enlightenment. They had the idea that all progress was good, that the human race and was becoming more rational and better with every passing year, and if it was new, it was good. On the other hand, Rick Warren says, if it's old and if it stood the test of time, it's good. But I really want to focus on the comment about homosexuality, and that if the Bible condemns homosexuality, then the Bible must be wrong. where is most of the condemnation of homosexuality to be found in the Bible? Ask yourself that. Well, it's to be found in the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, which is one of the holy texts of what religion? Judaism and Muslims, Islam, as well as Christianity. All of them share those five books. So consequently, why is there no criticism of Judaism? Well, I can tell you why. Because all of this criticism, like I said, is just an oblique attack, and really not that oblique to those of us in the know, of white Gentiles. This is just another way to try to put down white Gentiles. Now, Jewish justice on the Supreme Court said that the Constitution, specifically the 14th Amendment, required us to integrate the schools. But now, when there's a provision in the U.S. Constitution that requires that there be no law that infringes upon the right to keep and bear laws, well, that's not consonant with their true religion, liberalism, so out the window it goes. Likewise, the Bible, like the Constitution, is fixed. Liberals think the Bible and the Constitution are growing, living documents. They love to say that, and there's nothing more absurd. The only way that a Bible or a Constitution is a living document is if it has mold growing on it. They will not be hemmed in by authority. They are anti-authoritarian in every way, and they apparently have this overweening confidence on their own righteousness and their own wisdom and their own intelligence, which is not borne out by the facts. I've lived through the period of liberal triumphalism in America. I was born in 1951, and I have seen the America that I grew up in a constant state of steady decline because of the triumph of liberalism. The more liberalism we get, the less civilized and the more savage and the more debased and the more debauched our society becomes.
You want to talk about debasement and debauchery? Listen to this story, and we posted it on the politicalcesspool.org yesterday. A man has earned a roster spot on a women's basketball team there in Santa Clara, California. The women's basketball team, of course, they refer to this man as a transsexual, meaning he dresses in drag and pretends to be a woman. Maybe he got a snip job, maybe not. We don't know. They don't say. But the women's basketball team at Mission College in Santa Clara, California, expected the bleachers to be full and the hecklers ready when its newest player made her, and they refer to him as a her in this, home court debut. And the days leading up to the game, people had plenty to say about the 6'6", 220-pound Gabrielle Ludwig. He changed his name, too. 6'6", 220. That's big for an NBA player, much less a female at a community college, who joined the Lady Saints as a midseason walk-on and became, according to advocates, the first transsexual to play college hoops as both a man and a woman. Coach Corey Cafetera worried that the outside noise was getting to his players, particularly the 50-year-old Ludwig. This is a 50-year-old man, 6'6", 220, pretended to be a woman. He gets a spot on this female team. Last week, Ludwig gathered her, again, according to the story, 10 teammates at practice, and offered to quit. This was their time to shine, she told the group of 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. She didn't want to be a distraction for the team. The other women said if Ludwig, whom they nicknamed Big Sexy and Princess, didn't play, then they wouldn't either. So, Keith, here is, again, another manifestation of what is called progress here in Martin Luther King's Diversity Wonderland. This is progress. This man, 6'6", 50-year-old, joining a women's basketball team. How far down the line does this progress, to use the parlance of our time? If a man decides to dress in drag and call himself a woman, should he be allowed to go into women's dressing room? Is it homophobic? Is it a hate crime to not allow a man pretending to be a woman to go into the women's dressing room or women's restrooms or women's locker rooms? And this guy here, 6'6", 220, no way any female can guard him. We're going to take a break. We're going to let Keith talk about it when we come back. You got to see this story, folks. I am not making this up.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly, 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Welcome back. To get political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Before the break, we were talking about the fact that a man has earned a spot on a women's basketball team in California. He's 6'6", 220 pounds. Of course, he's pretending to be a woman. I guess he got a sex change operation. They refer to him as a transsexual. Of course, in the article, they refer to him as a her because they have to. They don't want to violate the false tenets of political correctness. But if you were born a male, I don't care if you dress as a female and you put on makeup. I don't care if you get a doctor to, you know, lop off your male sex organs. You are still a male. You look at the picture of this guy. He looks like a man. He's got tattoos on his arm and everything else. What's the last full measure of a story like this? Again, anybody that decides they're a female, they want to go in a female's dressing room or a locker room or a bathroom. Is it a hate crime to say that, come on, you're a guy, you're not going in there? There is a reason that the sexes are segregated, many reasons. And in sports, it's because men are stronger than women. Men are faster than women. Can you imagine, what's the average height for a female? 5'6"? You imagine a 5'6", 120, 130-pound college athlete, female, on this basketball team that they're going up against, guarding this 6'6", 220-pound behemoth. It's absolutely ludicrous. But in today's society, Keith, it's something that they are celebrating, and this person is a hero. You know, you should be able to say, come on, get it together, guy. There's something wrong with you. You need psychiatric help. But no, if you do not celebrate this perversion, they will say there's something wrong with you.
What does the Bible say? It says, woe to the nation that calls evil good and good evil. Well, this is evil, and it's being called good. It's celebrated. You know, it used to be that homosexuality was something that you were ashamed of. You would try to keep it in the closet, as it were. That was the old expression. Instead, now, in fact, they used to call homosexuality the love that dare not speak its name. And as Pat Buchanan has said before, now the love that dare not speak its name won't keep its mouth shut. So we have articles like this, and this is from Santa Clara, California, where none other than Kevin McDonald hails from. Kevin McDonald from the Occidental Observer. He's a professor at the University of California, Santa Clara.
Long Beach.
Long Beach. What is it? It used to be Santa Clara. He must have gotten transferred to Long Beach now. But anyway, he was at Santa Clara at one time. So consequently, I have this impression of Santa Clara, California as being like Outback Steakhouse, where there are no rules, just right. And this is what comes from that type of crazy. When you totally give yourself over to liberalism, as they have on the appropriately named Left Coast, you get things like this. I remember, gosh, it must have been a decade ago now, or more than a decade, a generation ago, when Dr. Renee Richards, similarly a transsexual male, had a snip job and entered the women's professional tennis circuit and started whipping up on all the women. Why? Because he was a man, and there are sexual differences. That's another thing that they don't seem to be able to reconcile in this. If here's a man that, you know, as far as we know, never played basketball before, now he has a snip job, becomes a woman, and now he's some star basketball player on the women's league. This tells you that there are differences. If there weren't differences, we wouldn't have separate men's and women's sports. We would have one NBA that women could try out for just like men. We would have one professional tennis circuit, and women could try out for just like men. Same for golf and whatnot. Same for baseball. But there are differences between the sexes, and even the mavens of liberalism realize that there are, because they have separate sports for them. See, they lie to themselves, and if they lie to themselves, I think we're justified in disbelieving their lies.
And one particularly peculiar part of this article read that this guy actually played college basketball as a man also. Yeah, he was a man, and he played for a while, and I guess he didn't finish, and then went back to school in his 50s and decided he was a female, and now he's on the female team. Not laughing this out of the building. I mean, how can this even pass? The rules of political correctness, Keith, are so blurred. I mean,
bizarre.
You will see the day where more trouble comes from blurring the lines of the sexes you know, it could go as far as rape and other sorts of harassment, but letting a guy on a women's basketball team because he pretends to be one is absolutely ridiculous and absurd. But this is political correctness. This is progress. Is that, well, that's what they call it. They call it progress. So this is more progress. Piers Morgan would approve as we move into the post-Christian age of America and indeed the West. Scales have tipped in the formerly Great Britain. You know, Pat mentioned that in his column that we opened up the show with tonight that one of the reasons the Western nations are falling is that they're turning their back on Christianity, and the results are predictable. The scales have tipped in the formerly Great Britain. British whites, as they are called, are now the minority in London. White British people, for the first time ever this year, are a minority in London. It emerged last week as census data revealed that the immigrant population of England and Wales went up by 3 million over the past decade. Just 3.7 million Londoners described their ethnicity as white British in 2011, down from 4.3 million in 2001, and making up 44.9% of the city's population. Wow. It is believed that for the first time that British whites have become a minority in any region of the UK. Another major change, and this ties into everything we've been talking about this hour, another major change in the UK came in the decreasing number of Christians. 4 million fewer people claim to belong to the faith, as a quarter of Britons said that they had no religion. So, Keith, it took about 100 years for diversity, multiculturalism, and political correctness to completely destroy London, the former seat of the British Empire, from an empire upon which the sun never set to minorities being the majority in their own capital. That's an incredibly radical change in a relatively short amount of time. And the same can be said for Washington, D.C., our capital here in America, 92% black.
Well, it took a lot less than 100 years, because I can tell you, in my childhood, I visited England. This was England of Little Noddy and Rupert Bear books and whatnot. It was vast majority white, native-born Britons in the United Kingdom. Now, we need to also understand that this is a result of a self-inflicted wound, all of these things. For example, if we're talking about the attacks on Christianity and Christmas, well, if white Gentile Christians would react to these outrages in the same way that Muslims would if Islam was being similarly attacked, or Jews would if Judaism was being similarly attacked, we would roll these back. In fact, there would be no stopping us. We would dominate everything, because we've proven that we create the best societies, that we create the best government, and that we have the most power when we choose to exercise it. A bewitching spell has been cast on the white Gentile population that makes us want to give up and give in and cower before these totally specious, wrong-headed criticisms of our society and culture and our religion, even our sexuality, as this last article about the transsexual basketball player shows. These things are the height of absurdity. Why in the world are we tolerating this? We're tolerating it because we've lost our sense of racial solidarity. Because we've lost our sense of racial solidarity, we have lost the capacity to be outraged at attacks on us. So consequently, that's where we are.
Keith, once again, getting a call during business hours here, and he will take that call. Live on the air, this is real time. Hey, but Keith fielding a call from his mother, I mean, that's sweet. You wanna fill in the audience, Keith? I mean, they've been such a big part of it. We don't have a rule when you walk into the studio that we should turn off our cell phones, or at least put them on silent. It's more of a guideline than a rule. But we are moseying on through the first hour of the final show of the year, and what a year it's been, Keith, and you've been certainly, my friend, a big part of it, being with me for nearly every single show of the year. In fact, if you add it all together, you might have been here more than I have this year, at least in terms of shows you've appeared on. I was out a couple of times for travel, out when my appendix burst, and a time or two in addition to that, and I think you've only missed a couple of shows. That's right. Yeah, you know, and some of the best shows of the year. We'll be talking about the top 10 moments of 2012 during the third and final hour tonight as we gear up for another, what we anticipate and certainly hope will be a great year in 2013. But some of the best shows indeed were the shows in which I were not here, was not here. Really enjoy listening to the programs that you and Bill co-host together, Keith, as you often do in my stead on those rare occasions when I do have to be absent. And of course, in recent weeks and perhaps over the course of the last month and change, you and Sam Bushman have just had an incredible dynamic, and those have made for some of the best shows of 2012. And we'll be 1 hour down, talking again more about that later on this evening. Stay tuned. 1 hour down, two to go. Hour number two coming up right after these words. James Edwards and Keith Alexander will be here to bring it your way. We'll be right back.
In the First Baptist Church, in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula, it was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.